Please rise as you are able for our scripture reading. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of the face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the message of hope.
Well, you may be seated, and let's say a prayer. God, we acknowledge your presence among us, and we ask that you would speak to the very heart of who we are, and that we would be brave enough to listen and to accept your word and your teachings and live it out. And so together we pray that the meditations on each and every one of our hearts and the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. So observing Transgender Day of Remembrance is one of the ways that we as Christians get to walk our talk. I've had friends texting me from around the United States this morning about their different worship experiences, not in MCC, saying that nobody acknowledged Transgender Day of Remembrance, or if they did, it was lacking, insufficient, or even just inappropriate, like not well done. And so we have such a unique opportunity to be together and to be allies to our transgender community, even from the pulpit. It's a powerful, powerful message. And so I wanted to let you in on one of the really neat observations I made coming to this moment today, because a month or two ago, Dan and I started talking about sermon series coming up, and we decided let's do 24 days of gratitude. And so we picked the Grateful Four different things each Sunday in November. And it just so happened that today was Grateful for Transformation. And Dan was going to preach. Well, then he got an invitation from MCC of Greater St. Louis to come and be a guest preacher for them. And under the circumstances, we thought it was great that he accepted it. And so he asked me if I would preach. And I thought, well, how interesting. That could work. And then as I was preparing the sermon, I realized that the third Sunday in November is November 20th, which happens to be Transgender Day of Remembrance. And so you get an ordained transgender clergy person speaking on transformation on Transgender Day of Remembrance. I think that's awesome. A little intimidating on my part, but great for everyone else. So today I want to talk about some trans experiences in the Bible that we can all relate to. Did you know there were trans experiences in the Bible? So this sermon is called Trans Asterisk. You know that little asterisk mark? And in some circles of academics and activists, instead of using the full label of transgender or transsexual or trans whatever, there's reason to let each person define for themselves who they are and how they want to be treated based on how they identify. So the word transgender gets shortened to trans, and an asterisk is added because an asterisk usually indicates that there's a footnote somewhere. And that footnote is usually going to have extra information that you need to fill in the blanks. Okay? And so it will help clarify and contextualize what is being said by that individual. And so some people may be transgender, some may identify as transsexual, some trans woman, some trans man. There are a lot of options, as you can imagine. And so there's a spectrum of expressions of gender. And for this sermon, it's less important which gender someone is, and more important to acknowledge that gender is. Okay? So gender exists. And it's not just male or female. It's a mix of male and female in all of us. Okay? So the thing that we all share in common is having a gender to express, and we go about expressing it in ways that are true for each of us as we learn who God has created us to be. So the unique aspect of the transgender experience is that for some of us, the truest expression of our God-given gender is the experience of transitioning from one to another. So it is intended that our gender expression is one of change. And so what's neat about that is that there's a process of being transformed or changed from one form to another in body, mind, and spirit. And I think that this is true when it comes to our spiritual lives as well. So just like gender exists and there's this whole spectrum of expression for it, the image of God is in each of us. And there is an unlimited array of ways to express the divine. So, inspired by these unique insights and experiences of those who transition gender, we're going to talk about the ways in which we're all transitioning from who we've been to who we're becoming on our spiritual paths. Okay? Anybody interested in this journey?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, at the Met, we follow the teachings of Christ primarily, and I'm interested in the way that the Bible talks about the trans experience, or the experience from moving from one spiritual location, one expression of our spirituality, to another. So today we're going to focus on three trans experiences. Transgression, the big scary T word, transformation, and transfiguration. These are all 50-cent words, so if you put the coins, you know, in the canister for using big words, you get to add 50 cents for these big words. Transgression seems to me simple enough. So I define transgression as moving from being in right relationship to someone or something to not being in right relationship with someone or something, right? It also might be referred to as breaking the law as an example of a transgression. Some people in really traditional Christian communities call it sin. So sinning is transgression. The point is that something went wrong and it needs to be restored. And that is an inner process and a condition of the heart and the mind. So when I listen to people talk about their lives, I hear about a lot of difficult things that we've been through and the hardship that it's produced. And so to me, it seems very clear that when we transgress against another person, it affects them, it affects me, and it affects the community that we're both a part of. So transgression is a very important dynamic to our spiritual lives. And one of the things that we do, I think, as Christians at a certain phase of our development is that we fall into patterns of seeing the ways in which other people aren't living right. And we want to enforce right living, thinking that if people live right, we're guaranteed peace and blessing. Well, what actually guarantees peace and blessing are being peaceful and blessing people.
Yes.
Right? It's really beautiful like that. It's so simple. So sometimes the opposite is true. So we're the ones who are being targeted by someone else's attempt to make us live what they define as right. And that usually feels absolutely awful. All right, now the amens are coming. Here we go. So I think that both of those experiences, whether we're trying to get other people to live right or other people are trying to get us to live right, miss the point of transgression on the spiritual journey. Transgression exists. It's an inevitable part of life. We will do things well and we will do things not well, right? We will sin and we will not sin. So we can influence the intensity of our sinfulness and righteousness, and we can influence the impact, but we can't necessarily rid the world of it. It's something that we have to address and work on ongoing. Sometimes we break our right relationship in between us and another person with each other. And sometimes we transgress against our own selves. And so one way I've done that is that I agreed to do something or be someone that I don't actually agree with. And sometimes I've gone against my own gut or my intuition in a moment of discernment. Sometimes I've told myself one thing and then I didn't do it. But I got the gym membership even though I don't show up, right? And therefore, I break my own ability to trust my own word to myself. Transgression. Transgender people experience this in what is called dysphoria. We know that who exists on the inside is not reflected in what the outside looks like. So until we're able to change the outside to match our understanding of the inside, transgression is just our companion. It's hard. It's hard. Then we go through the process of having self-understanding match our expression in the world. There's reconciliation, there's congruence, there's integrity, and those relationships with ourselves bring life. So the beauty of the trans experience is that there is now a vehicle to move from right relationship into broken relationship and back out from broken relationship to right relationship. And as people of faith, at times, every single one of us will fall short of the glory of God. And we all can be restored to God and each other by regularly addressing the ways we fall short instead of being those really good diehard perfectionists and holding ourselves to standards that can't be met, or hoping for a day when we don't have to work on relationships with people. I'm interested in seeing the hands of anybody who's been in a relationship of 30 years or more that doesn't have to work on their relationship anymore. Right, so let's deal just with the real world as it is. So all of us are in a constant state of change from transgression to restoration, back to transgression to forgiveness, to transgression to healing. This is just the movement of the Spirit. Second point, transformation. This is an incredible concept to me. Transformation captures the entire experience of going through a process of being formed and shaped and molded into something that you were not before. The old things will pass away and all things will be made new. There is letting go. There's release. There's surrender. There's parts that stay the same that get clarified. And there's an embracing of newness and unknown and mystery. It encompasses so much more than what the status quo allows for. And we have a tendency to determine what we think we need to be changed to good. And then we tell God about it, and then we set out to get the education we need, or the partner that we need, or the house, or the job, or the right Bible, the right church, the right friends, everything that we think we need to get the evidence of transformation, often foregoing the actual change, because we're just trying to prove to people that we've changed, which they'll notice if we do it. And we think that once we accumulate all the right things, that we will arrive at location transformation. And then the work is done. And I suppose to agree there's truth in that. You will be someone different than you were before. But what I propose is something much different. Our God is constantly bringing us into deeper relationship with Spirit. And because God is creator, God is author, God is sovereign, God is by nature transformational. taking all things that are in God's presence and changing them to be more godlike. Using all that is present in the moment, the fears, the failures, the pain, the passion, the love, the giftedness, the perfection, and the imperfections. Everything that constitutes us as a person, God brings and changes them into love, changes the thoughts, the feelings, and the convictions so that we reflect who God is in our lives. But the thing is, it's not like that. It's not. And even, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and every time I went to the altar, every time, every week, I had to repent and get saved every week. I've been saved like 500 times, you guys. That's a moment, that's an experience. But what I've noticed over time is that this transformational process is more like an evolution. It's slower and it's deeper. And it's incremental insights into who we are and how we behave. It's incremental healing of our past and our pain and our present. And it's incremental growth. God expands our knowing if we allow God to. And God takes us from needing answers to life's questions to asking questions of life and then living out our days in harmony with the values, not the rules. And this begins to express itself outwardly. Healthy insides show healthy on the outside. Regularly visiting God's presence through our spiritual practices of prayer, fasting, meditation, scripture study, motorcycle riding, and worship will renew our mind and our spirit and will be transformed in our physical form and our presence and will express more of the fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Kindness, joy, patience, understanding, fortitude. All right, that Catholic education paid off. Good. It's good stuff. These are all promises of God to us. When we live our spiritual lives, this is the fruit. So we've seen so far that transgression is an inner work of the Spirit. Transformation is an outer expression of the Spirit's inner work. And so now we're going to talk about transfiguration. The scripture for today's story tells us of Jesus taking Peter and James and John up to the mountain to pray. While on the mountain, these guys are exhausted and they're barely awake when Jesus' face begins to change form and his clothes start shining like a bright light. And then all of a sudden, two prophets who've been dead for a very long time, Moses and Elijah, show up and start chatting with Jesus. This is just 8 days after Jesus told them of his upcoming death. And his apostles, he said to them, "Some of you will not taste death before the kingdom of God comes." Meaning that the kingdom of God coming is so near that they will not die of old age or persecution before they get to experience it. I think that's a pretty fantastic opportunity. And I love the foreshadowing of great things to come. So within a week's time, just 8 days, Jesus gives them their first experience of the kingdom of God. This very sacred moment of a private audience with the power of God alive in Christ. Have you had a moment like that ever? They witnessed Christ's glory, this unbelievable scene of Christ making plans about what to do after he's crucified with people who already dwell on the other side of life. The apostles hear God say, "This is my son, listen to him, the chosen one." So we know that God has approved this message, that they've just witnessed something and they will never be the same. And what is the gut reaction of these apostles who've experienced something amazing? Let's build an altar. Better yet, let's build a shelter. Well, actually, what we could do is build an establishment and let's memorialize this moment and honor it forever. And how does God respond to this really lovely, noble gesture of the apostles? No way, guys. You're missing the point. God tells them to take that experience and be transformed by it. So allow it to sink in all the way and impact their life deeply. And when they leave, don't tell anyone about it. Well, how are you supposed to get the gospel out if you don't tell people about it? Right? The Great Commission, go and tell the world. Well, there's also a response to that that says, you know, be a witness at all times and when necessary, use words. So we actually take the lives that have been touched by God, allow them to be transformed, live out those truths, and then we naturally communicate the gospel. So transfiguration, this changing of our figure and our countenance, happens when our successful inner work combines with the transformation to be in God's image, and our very ability to exist with integrity is so powerful that we tap into a time and space and a reality different than what is limited to the material world. Supernatural power we tap into. Transition, which is the ongoing actions of moving from one thing to another, is such an incredible process to engage. Transgender people, by our nature and our experience of change, get to experience the world in a really unique way. We kind of get like a front row seat or a bird's eye view from a different perspective that very few people get. We get to live in a world where there isn't this or that. There doesn't have to be male or female, right or wrong, saved or not. It's not opposites. We get the liberation effect of the gospel that God is love and God's law is love. And love doesn't require conformity to gender roles. And love doesn't require conformity to religious roles. And love, the law of love, does not require adherence to moral codes. That'll sink in after a while. The downside, here's the downside of all this amazingness that I'm talking about. True freedom is despised by those who are not free. So when we don't fit into prescribed gender categories, we reap the consequences of that. But I've noticed that the same can be true for the people of faith. Sometimes we as Christians are so countercultural to cry out for justice, to be stewards instead of spenders, or to be healers instead of harmers, and to care for the good of all instead of the good of ourselves only, that we too experience the pushback against our truths. And so when you think about your trans asterisk life, what will be the footnote that tells us the detail of who you are and how you're living your life with honesty and maturity? This church, since I arrived in July, I've come to believe that we are ready to go to the next level. And today, I want to introduce you to a team of folks who've been pivotal to preparing the way to get to the next level. And so if I could have the members of the programming team come and join me on the stage. I know that many of us have been waiting for the opportunity to go deeper in our spiritual journeys. And so what we're going to do beginning in January, the Office of Congregational Life, along with the staff and the senior pastor and the ministry leaders, are going to launch a series of activities, courses, and intensives to ignite and sustain our spiritual growth. And so what will happen is by attending an hour and a half spiritual location workshop, either here at the church or at one of the locations around San Diego, for everyone's convenience, you'll be able to self-identify the quality of your relationship with God at this very moment. And you'll be able to identify what your spirituality type is, how you interact with God and others. And then you'll also be able to identify where you are on the spiritual journey by picking a spiritual location. And so what this team has done together, minus one, two, three, four, Sam and Tasha, they're two folks who are not here today, We have put together a whole portfolio of events, activities, and courses to engage you exactly where you are on the spiritual journey. And so we invite you, as you engage deeply on your spiritual journey, anything from just connecting and making friends to quiet time and meditation with other people to really intensive, reflective spiritual work through programs like Creating a Life That Matters and Financial Peace University. All of this is going to be going on so that we can sustain and further our reach to bring people closer to God and to one another. And so this team is available to you. Any questions that you have, any ideas that you have for programming, things that you want to learn about, things that you want to address in your life. I think one of the most attended classes is going to be spirituality and sexuality. That's my gut impact. But whatever it is that's on your mind and on your spirit and on your heart, we want you to share with us so that the programming that we create is relevant to our specific lives and our context in San Diego. And so these folks have committed to 1 year of coming up with ideas and working with me. And when we're successful, because we will be, there will be opportunities for people to stay on the team for consistency for another year. And then there'll be opportunities for other people to join the team. So if you're a brainstormer or a big dreamer, an idea kind of guy or gal, then, you know, talk to me about that, because in time we'll have more room for people to join the programming team. And so we do this for you, we do this with you, and we're very excited about it to keep engaging this journey of spiritual transformation. So together, let's journey to the very heart of dealing with our transgressions. Let's surrender to the transformation that God already is working out in us, and let's open to our transfiguration and be the light of Christ in the world. Amen.